Let's go to the book of Proverbs. Are we in chapter 17? 18. Yeah. Yeah. Chapter 18 of Proverbs. Now, this verse is a little bit controversial, not bad, but I mean just, it's kind of a difficult verse. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Probably what it means is that through a man's desire to express himself, he separates himself from everyone else. And then he intermeddles with all wisdom, all kinds of wisdom. I don't think it's saying something good. I think it's saying that somebody, through the multitude of counselors is safety. You can't separate yourself from everything that's known. You can't do that and strike out on your own. You're a fool if you do that. And I think that's what he's talking about here. It's like the Bible says, no scripture is of any private interpretation. That means that you can't interpret a scripture by itself. You have to consider the immediate context and overall the whole Bible. You can't take one scripture and make it go against the rest of the Bible. Because it doesn't do that. And when you do that, you're taking a good scripture and turning it into heresy. So God doesn't contradict himself. And the Holy Spirit inspired all 66 books. Amen. And they all go together. Now whether you can figure it out or not is beside the point. Are there things that we don't know here? Yes, there absolutely are. Some things we will not know until the Lord reveals them in eternity, and maybe not even then. So, you can't make your own world. And I think that's what he's talking about in that first verse. You can't make your own intellectual world. Somebody says, you do have a right to your own opinion, but you don't have a right to your own set of facts. You can't make up your own facts. So, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Well, a fool has no delight in understanding. Understanding would mean that you're understanding the situation and whatever you're studying. All he wants to do is do his own thing. That's kind of the same context as verse 1. When the wicked cometh, now that the wicked one cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy reproach. Well, contempt is bad. When the wicked one comes, that's what happens. That's what comes with him, is evil. And with ignominy. Now, that's a word that's not used much. Sometimes you may hear a preacher talking about something that ignominious. Ignominy, shame, and reproach. Jesus Christ endured the ignominy of the cross. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Now that would be a contrast to the fellow that we've been talking about. A fool's lips enter into contention. and his mouth calleth for strokes. Well, his lips enter into contention, starting fussing with his mouth. But what he's really doing, his mouth is calling for strokes. Do you know what the strokes are? The strokes would be the stroke of a whip. A fool's back is made for whip, for the whip, for strikes. Yeah, stripes. You can see this all kind of running in context here. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Well, back in chapter 17, verse 28, it says, even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Well, his mouth and his lips are his destruction. Sometimes we're far better off just to keep quiet. His lips are the snare, that's a trap. A snare is a trap. Anybody that traps animals know what a snare is. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Well, a talebearer is one that carries tales that they shouldn't. Sometimes we just need to keep quiet. We don't need to tell everything we know. And if you're trying to help somebody, telling your little stories on them is not helping them. Matter of fact, it's hurting them bad. It hurts them with everybody else, and it hurts them when it gets back to them. So just because you know something doesn't mean you have to tell it. You kids need to understand that too. But oh boy, many times you hear something, probably ought not to even hear it. You can't wait to get off the phone to call somebody else and tell them what you just heard. Well, God says that's bad. Be careful of this one now, verse 9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Well, y'all may not think this, but a waster is a bad person. They take food or whatever and waste it. Think about that. Next time you leave the top off of a jar of peanut butter, and then the next person goes to get it, and it's all dried up, and you got to throw it away. That's a waster. I mean, you say, well, I'll pay attention to that. You need to start paying attention to that. See, if you don't pay for that, what's a jar of peanut butter selling for now? Anybody? How much? A small jar. Yeah. It's expensive. Or how about a pack of hot dogs and then just leave them there to dry out in the refrigerator? Don't even bother to cover them up. But I don't have to pay for it. Doesn't bother me. But what you don't realize, if that's where you live, you're tearing down where you live. You may be destroying, wasting yourself out of a home. As we're talking about, all these people are going to be losing their homes. Then what are you going to do? We all need to understand that we are responsible for our own actions. Do we understand what I'm saying here?
Yes.
Kids, do you understand what I'm saying? You are responsible for your own actions. I am too. Boy, I've been responsible all my life. And I tell you what, My feet's been held to the fire. Amen. I've never been let off with anything. But none of us should be. Now, he that is slothful in his work. I understand that everybody doesn't love to work. I understand that. I've never figured out how to get by without it. Has anybody figured out how to get by decently without work? Without just becoming a crumb bum. You know, the sign, anything will help. You know. Is that what you want? That's not what I want. And they probably make a lot more than you do. But anyway, you got to work. If you settle it, you kids, you need to understand it now. You're going to have to work to support yourself. To live in this world, you're going to have to work. So you might as well learn to like it. You know? You might as well do something. Train yourself so that you can get a job that you like. And that's really good when you got a job you like. And you can also support yourself and your family with it. That's great. And until you can figure out how you get by without working, you need to learn to like what you're doing. Don't be foolish and hate what you're doing. I've never had a job I hated. I've had some I'd rather done something else. But I didn't let myself hate what I was doing while I was doing it. I'm going to do the best job I can while I'm doing it. Amen? And a child of God that's a lazy bum is not a good witness. He or she is a sorry witness. If you're known as a child of God, you ought to be known as one of the best workers your company has got. And it's not because you're It's because you're serving God. The Bible says you're serving God. Amen. I'm working. I'm doing what I'm doing because I'm serving God. And that's the way we ought to do everything we do. Now, he that is slothful in his work. Years ago, when I was going to Lexington Baptist College, full time, well, I ended up out of work. And I finally ended up going part-time to UK. Well, they didn't hire part-time workers, but they hired me. Why? Because I could do something they needed. I could hang wallpaper. And their wallpaper hanger just had a heart attack. And so I'm there for that. And they made a special provision for me, hired me part-time. But I went to work out there for less money than I'd been paying my help for an hour. You know, I wouldn't do that. Well, I was glad to do that because I needed money. I needed some income to support my family. Well, I'd do anything I had to do except break the law or dishonor God to make a living. I didn't care what it was. But I got hired out there part-time. Well, there was a guy out there, two or three of them said they were preachers on the paint crew. When I finished up that house wallpaper, they put me with the crew. I'd never worked with a paint crew. I thought they was going to work circles around me. Shoot. Golly. I couldn't believe it. I mean, they had a bunch of, like 400 prophets. They had 400 painters. And do you know there was only one that picked up a brush? The rest of them had their rollers. I was the only one that had a brush. Because you had all this piping stuff. You had to brush all that. I don't care. I'm a painter. I know what to do. I thought they'd work circles around me. Shoot, I've never seen. Why? I made them put me by myself. I did more than the whole crew combined. I told them, I said, I got to work when I leave here. I got to go back to work. If I stay with this bunch, I'll never be able to work another day in my life. I never seen such honoring. But one of these guys said he was a preacher, pastor, a little, regular Baptist church up in Clay City, Stanton, up in that way. And he asked me to come up here and preach for him. And I wasn't pastoring, and I said, I'll tell you what. Yeah, I'll go preach anywhere. I said, I'm going to preach the Word of God, and I want you to know that if I had a church, I wouldn't ask you to preach. Well, he asked me, come on. That was the laziest bum I ever saw. He was as bad as the rest of them. I mean, there were some of them had white clothes on and those low-cut boots. They didn't have a drop of paint anywhere. I wore out coveralls. Paint, you know, bibbed overalls, white ones. They didn't have a drop of paint anywhere. I don't know how in the world you'd do that. Allegedly paint all day and not get a drop. Could you do it, David? Not get a drop of paint on you. It's because they didn't do anything. And I'd see him carrying stuff home with him. All kinds of stuff. He was a thief. And he was also a thief because he was a slothful, a lazy bum in his work. Well, he's brother to him that is a great waster. And both of them are bad. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Amen. Well, a strong tower, you know what that is. And the righteous runs into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous run into it and is safe. But now the rich man's wealth is his strong city. Now that's not true of all rich men. It's true of most of them. And as an high wall in his own conceit. I've even talked to him. Well, you all talk all that stuff. I don't need that. I've got my bank account. And you're going to take that with you. Is that right? If they give it to you, it'll go to your coffin until somebody can bust in there and steal it. Because if nobody busts in that coffin, 2,000 years from now, it'll still be in there, rotted. You say, that's your strong city? That's your refuge, your money? Well, the righteous man, the name of the Lord is the strong tower. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. When you think of haughty, just get haughty. Got that nose stuck up in there. But before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. That's what the Pharisees were. They were haughty. Yeah, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like that old publican is. I fast very often. I do this and I do that, and I'm thankful I'm not bad as he is. And that's what a haughty man does. That's before his destruction. And before honor is humility. Contrast. Haughtiness and humility. Haughtiness precedes destruction. Humility precedes honor. Here's one for you kids and for all of us. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. I see it in classrooms. You know, it's in school and junior high, high school, whatever they are now. Teacher asks a question. You always go, I know. They didn't even give her a chance to complete the question. They're answering a matter before they hear it. Well, when you want to try to talk to someone, you don't even let them get it out of their mouth before you start telling them what they ought to be doing. And you don't even know what they're talking about yet. That's answering a matter before you hear it. Well, it's just impossible to do it. You have to hear the matter before you can answer it. And a lot of preachers, they won't give a person a chance to finish what they're talking about. Oh, yeah, I know. Well, my situation is far worse than yours. They don't even know what they're talking about. So don't answer a matter before you hear it. The older I get, the more I want to rely on that, to not do that. I want to make sure I understand what they're talking about before I try to answer it. Because I tell you, you think you know what it is and you don't. And when it gets done, you say, oh, boy, did I run my mouth. See, what happens is there, it's folly and shame to you because you started running your mouth before you ever heard what the matter is. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? What is your... She's not bothering me. Not at all. Thankful I have her and her little noises. The spirit of man will sustain his infirmity. Well, an infirmity, the infirm, sick, weak. But, you know, a man that, especially that knows the Lord, he can handle that. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? How does he get a wounded spirit? That generally comes from people. Saying things, attacking you, and all of that. Very difficult for that to bear. So we need to be careful what we say to and about somebody. The heart of the prudent, now that's wise people, getteth knowledge. If you're wise, you get knowledge. And the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. We ought to be seeking knowledge, wanting to know, especially from the Word of God. If you say you belong to God, how can you not be concerned about what God says? Amen. Old Puritan said there's two things he wanted to know about any situation. Number one, does God speak? Number two, what does God say? Pretty good, wasn't it? Does God speak to this matter? Any matter in your life? Let's see. Does God speak on this? Well, we've got 66 books to search. And then to find out what God says. A wise man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Now we've got gifts that are bad and gifts that are good. This is one that's good. A man's gift makes room for him. Well, when you go to someone's house as a guest, you bring something. You bring a nice gift. That just eases the situation, warms it up. and it can also bring you before great men. Know how to handle people. You don't do like this bunch of Black Lives Matters and what's Antifas and all of the riotous scum in this country, and they just run their mouths constantly. It's not how you handle the situation. He that is first in his own cause seemeth, is in italics, but it belongs there, just. But his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. Well, I'll tell you how I feel about it. This is what I say, and I'm right, and you're not, and I'm not. Then here comes somebody who's got some proof against you. Maybe you ought to handle it a little bit different to start with. Okay. The lot causeth contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. Well, they cast lots in Acts 1, and the lot fell on Matthias. I think this might be that kind of a lot. And if we cast that lot and the Lord reveals his will, that would cause contentions to cease. It should. Well, when the lot fell on Matthias, it caused contentions to cease. No more talk about it. This is the one. God's one. And parted between the mighty. God's will should. Here's one good. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Well, now the bars of a castle, of course, nowadays you've got things like you operate and all that. But when you just got your hands, the bars of a castle are very foreboding. You ain't going to bust them. But a brother offended. Well, I assume a brother is a brother in Christ. And he's been offended. Now, according to our church covenant, we are to be slow to take offense. It doesn't say never to take offense. It says to be slow to take offense. And there are things that people can do that will offend you. And so why would we want to purposely offend a brother on an issue that we're trying to win him on? Because then he'll be, or she will be, harder to win than a strong city. Well, you got to imagine your own foot and you're trying to attack a strong city. Well, you're not going to make it. You're not going to get it done. And so a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Well, the cities of Cana, Joshua, you know, went to Jericho, Ai, and all the rest of them. Walled cities, strong cities. Well, had it not been for the grace, for the power of God, Joshua and the children of Israel wouldn't have taken Jericho. But it's God's power that did that. And they're walking in God's power. Amen. Obeying God. But their power didn't take that city. God's power did. So one man trying to take a strong city can't do that. Nor can you win a brother whom you've already offended. So we want to be careful about that. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle years and years ago. We're trying to have visitation. And for just a while, I had 5 or 6 or 7 of them coming out for visitation. Well, trouble with that is, I have to supply names and addresses for all of them to go visit. And that could run into problems. I think maybe they ought to come ready with their own names to go visit, meaning that they've been witnessing and talking and they want to see, you know, not leave it all up to me. I can't do it all. I can't provide everybody names and places. That gets to you. Anyway, so out of desperation, there was a fella, he wasn't a member of the church, but I had known him all my life, and his dad was sick. His dad had some kind of a cancer, and he was terminal. And I don't know why the family handled it this way, but they had determined they were not going to let the daddy know that he was terminally ill. They were keeping it from him. I don't agree with that, but that wasn't my business. That's their business. And I knew that. And so I told this brother, he's dead now. I think both of them might be dead, but I needed some names. And I told him, I said, go see him, try to witness to him, don't talk about his cancer. He's terminal, the family doesn't want him to know it. He may know it, but they don't know that he knows it. They're trying to keep it from him. I don't like it either, but it's none of my business, it's none of your business. Go and do what I tell you. Well, they went there and got in the room where he was. And the first thing out of this fellow's mouth, claimed to be a preacher, well, I hear you're not going to make it. I said, gosh. I'll name him if you want me to, bad enough. I never was able to have another conversation with that boy. He completely destroyed any effectiveness we might have had. I don't know anything what happened after that, but I never was able to have another conversation. I mean, what an idiot. I mean, you know, and I told him not to. Well, a brother, I don't know if the brother or not, but he was offended. And his contentions were like the bars of a castle. And nothing I could ever work my way back through. I couldn't do it. I couldn't make that all right. I just couldn't patch it up. Well, there was one, it wasn't from this church, but I think he was at Northside. And they went out on visitation. Of course, he's all full of zeal on everybody going to have to live right. Not talking about they're saved or not. And they knocked on the door, and this woman came to the door, and she's smoking on a cigarette. What's in her house? It's her life. It's her lungs. The other fellow said, well, we're from whatever Baptist church, and we want to talk to you if you'd let us. And the other fellow said, yeah, if you put that filthy weed out of your mouth, we'll talk to you. Door shut. Never got back in there. He had no right to say that to that woman. He was in her house. At her house. A brother once offended. My, anybody wants offended. We need to be careful how we approach an individual. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Now this is assuming this is a saved man. And so what's filling his belly, satisfying him? The words of his mouth, according to the word of God. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. Both of them are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof, whichever way it goes. If it goes the right way, it'd be life. If it goes the other way, it'd be death. And whoever loves it is going to eat the fruit of it, whatever it is. Here's a good verse. They're all good. Whoso finds a wife finds a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. I found one. Thank you, Lord. Whoso finds a wife finds a good thing. I think Bob Staton would have agreed with that. I'm sure he would have. A good wife is hard to find, but who finds one finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. Now, this is just a statement of fact. This is just a matter of fact in life, the way it is. A poor man has to practically beg. You know what I'm talking about? But a rich man or woman, rich person, answers roughly. See, if you're rich, you don't have to be nice to people. They think that. I've had some rich folks tell my brother, rich people don't have to pay their bills. You know what I'm talking about, David? And there's a lot of them that act like that. They'll make you wait. I mean, if you work for rich people, you'll find out they don't necessarily have their money right there. Now, you go clean a house for a poor woman, and she'll give you your money before you start. Is that right? Or you paint for them or anything else. No, don't pay me now. Please wait till I get done. I don't want to get my money for the job before I start. Then my attitude towards that job will change, and I don't want it to change. That does happen. I have to caution them against that. Well, you used to have to. But now you go work for a doctor, lawyer, in chief, and their wives. You talk about rough. I mean, they'll skin every dollar, buddy. Every dollar. And they'll talk about how much money somebody owes them, but they'll cheat you out of every dime they owe you. They think you ought to be thankful just to be able to work for them, whether you get paid or not. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, it's a privilege to work for me. You ought not to demand that so much money. But now we'll go out on strike for our money. Well, the poor uses entreaties. Entreat is a plea, beg, but the rich answers roughly. A man, kiddos, a man or woman or boy or girl that has friends must show themselves to be friendly. If you want friends, you've got to be a friend. It really tickles me that lots of times I hear people go, "Well, you ain't never been to visit me." I said, "Have you ever been to visit me?" "Well, no." "Well, you ain't been here to see me." "Who have you been to see?" Of course, hospital calls now are about out of the question. You can't hardly make them now. I don't think you make them at all. But it used to be. You didn't get out here one time to see me at the hospital. Now, how many times have you been to visit other people at the hospital before you was in? Oh, never. If you're going to show, be a friend, you want to have friends, you got to show yourself to be friendly. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And we know who that friend is. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. And he sticks closer than a brother. He is our kinsman redeemer. And he sticks closer than a brother. Let's all stand.